privilege to be here this morning, and like that song says, to stand in awe of who you are. Not just what you've done, but just who you are. Father, you are glorious. There is no one like you. There's no one that can compare to you. Your love is so amazing that you loved us even when we were still sinners. When we were still your enemies, you loved us. And you gave your life for us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We pray this morning that you bless this congregation, this gathering, everything that we do here, Lord, that it will not be our works, but it will be works that you've started before the creation of this world, and that it will be only for your glory. Remove us out of the picture, that we may only see you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to stand over here, and I don't have to work with a laptop. So we've moved on to Acts 20 this morning. Yay! We've been in Acts 19 since the beginning of the year, which was a good ride. So our key passage this morning is going to be Acts 20 verse 1 to 8. I'm going to read that for us. We'll get back to this chart just now. Acts 20 verse 1 to 3. Let's start there. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell. Remember the uproar in the previous chapter was Demetrius that was psyching up the people. And it was about their way. They wanted their way in Ephesus. The kingdom of God was introduced in Asia, and specifically Ephesus, previous chapter. And Demetrius felt that the kingdom of God was attacking their way of living. First thing he mentioned was their wealth. Second thing he mentioned was their trade, or we can also call it in our day, our career. And the last thing was the fame or the name of Diana or Artemis in the whole world. He called it the whole world. So the whole world in that context was the Roman world. Remember, Rome was conquering the whole world. And in the previous chapter, we were in the province of Asia Minor, they also called it. So you also see there, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. And I just felt the Lord saying that encouragement is such an important gift between us today. It was then. Remember when one of the first churches started in Syria, in Antioch, and Jerusalem heard about it, they sent Barnabas. And all that Barnabas did, according to the book of Acts, he encouraged the church. What happened? The word grew. The congregation grew. And the name of God was glorified. Just this one gift of encouragement. Not a big gift of faith, miracles. Those are also important, but just encouragement. So never underestimate encouragement between us. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. So now he's going through the whole of Macedonia. Can you remember when Paul wanted to go to Asia? In the beginning, the Holy Spirit said no. And then the Holy Spirit came and helped him and gave him a dream. And it was a man from Macedonia calling Paul and says, come and help us. Come preach the gospel. So Paul went to Macedonia. He started the church of Philippi, which is the first church. Then he went on to Thessalonica and from there to Berea. So now he's going back and he's encouraging all those churches. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made, this was now in Greece. So he went through Macedonia, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, When a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Greece, remember, he started Athens, but Athens wasn't interested at the time in what he wanted to say. But later, a church was established there, and he was going and he was spending time at that church, what we see in that passage. Also, Corinth. Corinth was a big, well-to-do city, and we know with 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, very strong church was established there. So Paul is going back to these churches and encouraging them. We're just going to do 8 verses. That will be our key passage in Acts 20. Supporter, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. The big names, different cultures being represented, provinces being represented there. You can see the church uniting with all these different provinces and people out of them following Paul. Aristarchus eventually with Luke went with Paul to Rome. So ultimately this was God's purpose with Paul, to go to the heart of the empire, the Roman Empire, and to preach the gospel there before the kings and the synagogue and everyone that was in Rome. How do we get to the church in the wilderness? I got stuck here at the end when I was reading this. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. Troas is a port city. What was the province? They were going from Macedonia to this province. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Now here's a typical week in those days, first days of the church. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered. So it's easy for us to underestimate what we are doing here. Coming Sunday together, having a sermon, worshiping God, having children's church, drinking coffee. It's very easy to underestimate it. But this institution, if I can call it that, church, came from God. And it started way back in Exodus. And I want to touch on that today. So my first point is establishing a pattern. Establishing a pattern. We find that in Exodus 25. Exactly, God is speaking to Moses. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. Exodus 39 verse 43. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, so had they done it. Then Moses blessed them. Numbers 8 verse 4. And this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold. From its base to its flowers, it was hammered work. According to the pattern that the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. And we can ask, what has this got to do with church today? Moses went on this mountain, he spent 40 days there with God. We don't really know how God did it, but God took him into heaven, either by open eye vision or physically taking him into heaven. But God showed Moses heaven. He showed him the presence of God in heaven. And he said to Moses, I want you to replicate it exactly on earth. Now, how on earth is that possible? It is only possible because God is the interface. God is the one that can make what is in spirit make it physical. And he did that with the tabernacle. He gave Moses precise instructions how to build that tabernacle. The tabernacle was for the presence of God. God came and inhabited that tabernacle. As he did eventually in Jerusalem with the temple, he came and inhabited the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where we enter into this morning. When we worship, there's four ways if you read the book of Hebrews. You enter by faith. You enter by the blood of the Lamb. You enter by the Holy Spirit. And you enter by the new and living way. That's the way we enter through worship into the throne room of the living God. It's only by the Holy Spirit, because He is holy, that He can take us into that holy place. We are holy because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because He took our sin, we can be righteous in Christ Jesus. We can be holy. We can't be holy because of our works. We can only be holy because of Jesus' works, what He has done. So the first point is establishing a pattern. So God gave Moses this pattern. And Moses, the amazing thing was that Moses did it exactly that way. He was obedient. And he did what God wanted him to do. My second point is a church in the wilderness. So we've got about 9 references where God was repeating. I only read 3 verses there. But there's about 9 verses where he keeps on saying, what I showed Moses, he did. Exactly how I showed it to him. So there's a pattern that was being established. Second point is church in the wilderness. It's also, it's called congregation in the wilderness. Yeah. In the KJV, you will find church in the wilderness. So Stephen is speaking just before he was martyred. He is speaking and he's preaching to the Jews. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, he received living oracles to give to us. So what was Stephen saying here to the Jews? And they killed him for it, so it was serious. He was saying, just as God gave a congregation or a church in the wilderness, He is giving it today. This was 2,000 years ago. He is giving a congregation, He's giving a church. But Moses said, God will raise for you a prophet like me from your brothers. The whole tabernacle and the temple and what God gave him was just a shadow of what was coming. I asked Hannah in the week, what does your shadow look like? Your shadow doesn't really represent you. I mean, it can't capture the detail of you as a person. It can show your form. So imagine God showing Moses what was in heaven, and Moses built it exactly according to the instructions God gave him. But it is only a shadow. Hebrews says it's a shadow of the real thing. The real thing is what is sitting here. Can you imagine the temple in Jerusalem? Can you imagine that? And what are sitting here is so much bigger, so much more glorious, because God inhabits His people. As He inhabited the temple, much more is inhabiting us. Stephen is also saying that Moses received the living oracles of God. So God's words was captured. God wrote it on stone and gave it to Moses. Moses, you know that Moses was so angry when he came down and as he saw what the Israelites done, that he broke it. Then he went back up again for 40 days. 80 days without food on that mountain, because God was his food. Now today, the oracles of God is written in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Much more beautiful, much more glorious than it was in Moses' dispensation. So Stephen was referring to the pattern that God gave to Moses. And he says, there's a new way. That same pattern that God showed there only showed to the new, the more glorious way, and that is the church. That's why he called it the church in the wilderness. Third point I want to make is idolatry, and it's amazing that it's the second week that the Lord brings up this word idolatry. And I want us in this week and even this morning that we examine our hearts, and we're going to look at idolatry. What is idolatry? I'm not scared to repeat what the Lord is saying in terms of idolatry, because then there is something in our hearts that is holding us from worshiping God. And the only thing that can prevent us from worshiping God is when we are worshiping other stuff outside of God, including ourselves. So Acts 7, let's go to the next slide. Acts 7, verse 39. Our fathers refused to obey him, that's God, but thrust him aside. So they basically just rejected God. And in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. So it's so amazing that they would leave a God that they can experience the power of. There's the mountain. That whole mountain is burning with the glory of God. And they would leave that and say, no, it's safer for us to follow the old idols of Egypt. I find it amazing that we as a people will do something like that, and we do it today. We leave the fearful God. We turn from him, and we go and sacrifice rather our lives, our time, our energy, and build these monuments for ourselves. I read over a word, micro branding, this week. I don't know if you guys have heard of this word. You find it on the social media, where you micro brand yourself. You build an image of yourself. And that image you are enforcing all the time by doing courses, by building a reputation. You are running with that image of yourself. And that is fine. That's our day and age. We use social media. But it is not fine if it is above God. God is the ultimate God, and that is the one we follow. We don't turn from him and follow the creature, which is us or other people. You all know the scripture in Romans 1. Not many people like this chapter. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. He's the creator, and we are the creature. So it makes sense that we will worship the one that's created us. So Stephen is claiming that the fathers of the Jews were not obeying God. If you think about, if you go back to Eden, the Garden of Eden, there was just one commandment, one law in that garden. And you would say, but why? Why was there a commandment? And I would say, because God made us in his image. He gave us a free will so that we can have a choice. If there was only good in the garden, there was no choice. But because there was one commandment, don't eat of the tree, that was the test for the love of Adam and Eve. When we came to Moses, there was 10 commandments given on that mountain. It is about obedience and disobedience. If you go and read Deuteronomy 28, that whole chapter, the first 14 verses is about the blessings that will come upon us when we obey God. The rest is the curses when we disobey God. For God, obedience is very important, because that's how we show our love. If you read the book of John, you'll see John harps on this all the time. You can only show your love by obeying God. Jesus was saying this through the Gospel of John. So disobedience was a way of rejecting God, rejecting His way, and that's the road where we move into idolatry. The fourth thing I want to get to is they worship themselves. Acts 7:41. Let me just see. Let me read that verse first. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God gave them up. King James Version says God turned. And I think I've got the Greek word is strepho. Strepho, to reverse, to turn around. So it's like he was turning his back on them when they decided to follow their own way and to ignore him. Consider Jesus. It's my last point I'm making. Hebrews 3:1-3. Therefore, holy brothers, you share in a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus. What does it mean to consider Jesus? Katanao is the Greek word. Behold, discover, perceive. Behold him. Look at him. What are we looking at daily? The things that we look at is the things that we will become. If we look at Jesus, we will become like Jesus. It's very simple. It's a very simple principle. Consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. So even there he compares the two houses, the house that God gave Moses instruction to build, but it was only a shadow of the real house. That house sitting here today and all over Bloemfontein, all over South Africa and the world, the Church of Jesus Christ, where he is the head, is a more glorious church than the church that was in the wilderness. But that was the pattern that was set. We can't throw it away. God set a pattern on that mountain. He said, follow this pattern. And that pattern runs to today. It will keep on running until Jesus comes. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Christ is our home. He is our house. So this morning we looked at the church in the wilderness, and we see that God established a pattern long, long time ago. He established a pattern. The pattern is built on the city that we come from. We are not from Bloemfontein or Pretoria, like me. We are from a heavenly city. That is the pattern that God showed to Moses. That is the city that we are returning to. In the book of Acts, you'll see that he calls us aliens or visitors. We are not here to build kingdoms and to stay forever. This is the place that we are passing through until we return back to that city that we came from. And that is why the pattern was established, so that we can know this home here is a temporary home. But Jesus is preparing us through his word and his Holy Spirit for the place that we will be for eternity. We looked at the church in the wilderness, that Stephen calls it, he coins it, I love it. We looked at idolatry. And please let us check our hearts this week. and this morning, that we check our hearts and say, Lord, where do I put myself before you? That's the bottom line of idolatry. Where do I prefer my way? I still heard again, I'm shocked sometimes when I hear people say, you've got a common sense, so you decide and then God blesses. It's not God's way. God's way is, Lord, what is your way I want to follow? Jesus showed us God's way. He showed it for 33 years. He that was the king became the servant. And he showed us how to live on this earth. The shocking thing is when they started worshipping themselves, God turned. We never want that. That happened in Malachi as well, the last book of the Old Testament. For 400 years, God kept silent until he started speaking again in Matthew. So we don't want God to be silent on us or turn his back. The encouraging thing is, it's so simple to just look at Jesus. How do we live life? Consider Jesus. Think about him. Think about this word. We can pray this word. We can meditate on this word. This word can be in our mind, in our thoughts, in our mouth daily. And it will be life to our bones. It will be life to every part of what we are, to our families, our friends, every world that we touch. Because life flows through this living word. This living word is Jesus. Okay, let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, that we can sit around your word. Like we can sometimes sit around a campfire and just consider your ways. Thank you for your Bible, Lord. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to give life to these words in this book, that it ministers life to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. I pray, Lord, that this river will flow from us and it will touch our worlds as we go out here. And it will give life where there is death. It will bring hope where there is hopelessness. Father, it will bring joy where there is depression. Only you can do it. Because from you are our source. From you flows everything. The essence of life flow from you. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be protected in this week. Because out of them flows the life of you, the life of God. In Jesus' name, amen.